The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Parents will be entitled to sick child leave and 10 days domestic violence leave as part of the proposed work-life balance bill. An Oireachtas Joint Committee has recommended the measures as part of a raft of new proposals, which are designed to bring Ireland into line with an EU directive on work-life balance. Now, for more on this, we're joined first by Sinead O'Moore, host of Every Mum podcast and the Stretch Marks podcast. Good morning, Sinead.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Now, what do you make of these proposals? Because that's what they are at this stage.
A rare piece of good news for working parents. I'm interested to listen to your Friday forum, how you're going to solve the childcare crisis. But at least here, there feels like the EU directive is trying to bring a raft of measures through that are acknowledging the stretch that parents are under. And I think it's important to note that in this, it is not just the parents, it is carers as well, because they understand that where there is illness, workers need to be supported, whether it is, you know, a partner, an elderly parent, or a child. It is encouraging this better work-life balance and treating humans as humans, acknowledging that we have other stuff going on, but we still can be really good employees that are supported.
Now, how this would work, of course, the devil will be in the detail. But, you know, you're feeling a bit seedy on a Monday morning and you call in, Johnny's sick, can't make it.
It's about trust. OK, if you have an employee that you trust, if you have a team that you feel responsible towards, if you have an employer and a passion for your role and what you're doing there to achieve, you're not going to, no more than any, if your own illness, if you're an engaged employee who genuinely wants to do well in their business, you're going to show up. You're going to do your work as best you can. You're going to be called out if you're not. What's important here is there is nothing worse than when you have that really big day, you have that really important meeting, you have that real commitment, and the phone rings and it's crèche at school. And there is no bigger stretch for a parent than having to be in two places at once. And what this is about is being respectful and enabling that flexibility so that we can be both. We can look after our sick child. And we've learned in the pandemic, we can't be passing this back to grandparents all the time. Okay, we need to acknowledge that if our child is sick, we need to take it seriously. We need to bring them home. We need to care for them. We need to contain it. We can't be as irresponsible as we were before the pandemic, including me. I mean, the amount of times you'd bring them to the crèche door and you'd be like, please go in, please go in, please go in, because you have that big day ahead. This at least acknowledges that for parents and for carers, they can be honest with their employer. They can.
But you're going to, you know, with this, you're going to miss your big day, aren't you? Because you're going to stay home without financial penalty, one would hope, to mind your child, but you're still going to miss your big day. So that temptation not to miss your big day is still going to be there.
I think what we have acknowledged is that when we respect and support our employees, they give back. And what this is about is it's another tool for flexible working, which will remove the discrimination for those that perhaps have disabilities, perhaps that are dealing with family situations, and will mean that I can be at home. Look, we know that people are logging on. We know that people are fulfilling their responsibilities. We know that we're not, you know, there's studies from the pandemic that when we were at home, we were at our best. So it's a case of being able to be honest and say, look, this is what's going on, and for there to be dialogue. And if you have an employee that feels respected, they are more than likely going to ensure that nothing gets dropped on that day.
Yeah, in fact, we did an item on the programme recently where we discussed whether or not people were actually working at home, even though if they had to go into the office, they would have actually called in sick. They were so sick. But then you're sitting at home and you've got access to your laptop and you've got access to your Wi-Fi and you think, I'm feeling miserable, don't feel like work. But they won't believe me in work if I just say I'm sick, so I gotta log on.
Yeah, yeah. There's a feeling of having to show up, okay? And again, this is about the relationship that you have with your employer and the system and the culture within the business, okay? And if you have that, you know, that relationship with your colleagues, you're going to want to make sure that everything is still okay. If that culture isn't there, of course, people are going to abuse the situation. But I think what's important here is that this is an EU-wide recognition that there needs to be greater work-life balances provided, because it is simply the system at the moment, as you'll cover in your Friday forum, the system as it is at the moment is not working. And we cannot be both parents and a fully invested workforce.
Now, the plans of the government just for regular sick leave, never mind a sick leave that might be attached to a child's sickness, the plan is paid sick leave for up to 3 sick days a year, which will increase to 5 days a year by 2024, 7 days in 2025, and 10 days sick leave in 2026. And then you add on top of that, you know, this leave that's proposed for children, for domestic violence and so on. You know, it begins to eat significantly into the working year, does it not?
And I assume they're having consultation with employer groups along the way to understand the real impact that this will have. And I think it's important not to create any sort of discriminatory practices within workforce for, you know, people that do not have children, people that do have children. I think there needs to be wider recognition whereby people have their own health issues, their own disability, their own family well-being. If they're caring for a parent, they're caring for a partner, they're caring for a child, they're caring for... I saw today some comments even, well, hang on, what about, you know, I have a sick pet. So
I know, I know.
I saw the comments. I'm not saying I necessarily...
I mean,
you know,
it does happen because those of us who have pets, I've got dogs all my life, really, all my adult life. And there's no doubt that sometimes you have to take time off to bring them to the vet. But you don't expect to get paid for that time off. I mean, you take it out of your holidays.
And this is where I think there needs to be balance and there needs to be, you know, a respectful decisions made, but also great consultation with the groups that have to make this a reality, because there is no point in these directives coming and going and no change happening if they don't match the needs of both employer and employee.
Looking at some of the texts coming in, it's high time we brought this in for parents. It's not just mum, it's dad too. Kids get sick, we have to live with that. It's funny that everyone keeps going on about parents' fees and paying for when your child is sick. People have forgotten about the early years educators. We don't get sick pay at all, or indeed we don't get proper pay. But this one from a woman: I run a small business and this absolutely would not work for me. Does it not discourage me from hiring women?
And that's where we need to be very careful about our language here, because this is parents. And why is it the mother that always gets that call? And why is it the mother that always leaves that office?
Yeah, I know that, you know, it's the way we've been brought up and it's been like that for youngs. And it's the legacy of single people, a single parent going out to work and a parent staying at home. Nowadays, of course, both parents tend to be out to work all the time. But you rarely hear the cry from a sick child, "I want my daddy." It's normally, "I want my mummy." That's maybe heritage, because legacy, but that is also the reality.
You know, habit too. If the mother is always the one that is present in that situation, the child is going to understand that that's the norm. That's what happens. There are plenty of single fathers out there that will be called for if their child is sick.
Sure, but I'm just talking about the generality of it, and that's why that woman is saying a bit apprehensive about employing women if this comes in, because there'll be every time there's a child sickness in the house, and these are very regular in the early years of childhood, that person will be gone.
We need to be careful, because we need to see more dads take that phone call and leave that office. It needs to be not a gender-based role. We are all in, you know, if you're in a male and female relationship entering in as parents and you're both needing to work, the time is now. We need to have those conversations about balance. Who shares that responsibility? Because we live in a system where we know our mortgage situation, our rental situation, two incomes are more than likely required for many, many families. It has to be shared, because we cannot... You know, we will get, the message said there, oh, I'll feel like I can't hire women. Like, there is dangers in that, real dangers in that. We need to address this, as we are all parents and we are all trying to do our best in our employed status. And there are everyday realities of parenting, which is children get sick and somebody responsible must mind them.
Yeah. Some of the texts coming in again on this topic. Nobody wants to have a sick child, and it is no easy task staying home with them, but we cannot send them into creche or school. That would not be fair on staff or teachers. This one from Tony in Monaghan. I'm not sure if your contributor has ever owned a business or managed staff. The sad truth is that there will always be employees that you cannot trust, so the trust mechanism fails. Wonderful news, carer support. Currently, I'm a mid-70s person caring for my mid-70s partner who has dementia. If I get sick, how many days support will I get? You can't do both. People are missing out on the first 3 years of their child's life. They can't get that back. Lone parent at home or choose the carer. I'm a teacher, and well-meaning parents often bring their sick kids to school with no choice in the matter, but that's not acceptable to us. But this one's interesting. We've had sick pay like this in Australia forever. We run the same model in our company here. Allowing sick leave is just, well, just. Sure, some people will take a sick day, but it's not the Victorian era anymore. So it boils down to trust, and there will be the chancers, but in due time you can probably spot them if there's a recurring pattern of hangover and blaming the kids or whatever it might be. Anyway, Sinead, thank you very much for joining us. That's Sinead O'Moore, host of Every Mum podcast and the Stretch Marks podcast. Listening to that, Barry McLaughlin, senior consultant with the Communications Clinic. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Pat.
So what do you make of this proposal? Will it fly?
Well, I think the simple thing is it has to fly. I mean, as you pointed out in your own introduction, this is on foot of, you know, European directives. So, you know, I was interested in listening to some of the texts coming in and people talking about, you know, the changes in employment and the rights that people have. Don't forget that some of the hardest fought rights that employees have won have been driven by Europe. So, for example, my own mother, a long, long time ago, worked in the civil service. When she got married, she immediately had to resign her post. Could you imagine that in this day and age? And yet that was something that, you know, as a result of membership of the European Union, other changes around workers' rights as well, that they've always driven those kind of standards and improved those standards. So the short answer is that it has to fly. It definitely has to work. And I think the key thing, and Sinead mentioned it earlier on about trust, we're working with a lot of employers at the moment, and actually working through the communication, the internal communication with employees is so important. That working out what is it that you want people to understand, what is it you people need to know that they have to do next. And that the biggest problem with any of these changes is usually when the first response people have is, this is the first I'm hearing about it, or this is the first time I was made aware of. So there's now a lovely window between now and August when this is all supposed to come in for employers to sit down and work out, how am I going to explain this? How are we going to implement this? What are the steps that employees need to take in order to assert their rights or if they have any questions? So there's a really good opportunity now for those employers, big and small, to sit down and decide, how do we communicate this with people?
Now, communicating it is one thing, handling it is another. And often in our mind's eye, we think of big companies with big staffs, you know, your Facebooks, your Intels, all of those. And someone goes missing for a sick day with a child who is ill at home, and that's fine. There's lots of cover. The employer who talked to us earlier or who messaged us earlier saying, you know, I'm an employer with a small number of employees, this kind of thing could be disastrous for me. Isn't there a problem? These big rules for big companies, which will work, and for smaller companies, which create a crisis.
Yeah, there's always, when you look at things at the start and you're saying, right, OK, well, in my situation with, say, smaller resources, smaller numbers of people, what is the worst that could happen? How could this impact us? And yes, absolutely, there are realistic concerns that people would have. So, for example, if you look at the changes to sick pay, the paid sick pay that are coming in, I understand, I think you mentioned earlier, Pat, that they're coming in on a phased basis. So the idea is that the first couple of years would be 3 days, up to 5 days, up to 7 days, etc.
That's for the ordinary sick leave now, not the children's sick leave. The children's sick leave would be on top of that.
Yes, and but again, it goes back to the point about what's the culture within the organization, that if somebody is, you know, a good employee would be somebody who's coming to their boss, not just saying, look, I have a problem here. I need you to solve my problem. They're almost coming to the boss saying, look, there is an issue here. I may need to take time some off. How do we make this work? How do we make this work for everyone else as well? And I think that's the only realistic way you can actually look at it, that if, I suppose, you're the type of employer, or sorry, the type of employee who's always looking to assert your rights, who's that person, as you said, that, you know, you're always keeping an eye on them in terms of what they're doing. Like, there'll always be people like that. But I think that within big and small organizations, there are employees who genuinely want the best for everyone as well. They're conscious of decisions they make having an impact on other people. And don't forget as well, we have more people working in this country than ever.
I'm just wondering, though, is this the kind of measure that comes about because we have effectively full employment, certainly in particular sectors, tech sectors and related sectors, they can't find enough people to work for them. So we full employment. So you get this kind of thing. Another recession, lots of people out of work. You may find that there would be a reaction against this kind of thing. You know, loads of people looking for work. You're not prepared to come into the office or to come into the job. I'm sorry. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. But I think that if you're looking, and I mean, what the employers and indeed employees we work with, but particularly the groups, both big and small, you know, it's not about necessarily the amount of time that people put in. It's about outputs. It's about how consistent people are in terms of the getting the thing done. It might not get done.
Yeah, but this thing, you know, the way normally you'd say to someone, if you had to take a couple of hours off to bring a child to the dentist, you say, I'll make up the time. I'll come in early, or I'll work late, or I'll work through my lunchtime. And this way, the child's got to go to the dentist. Sorry, I'm off. Goodbye. Sort yourself out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm sure people are concerned about. But at the end of the day, Pat, I mean, we're all human beings. We all remember and we all engage with each other. And again, as the last speaker said, it's about trust. It's about, you know, are people getting a sense that they've been treated fairly by the employers and by the employee? I mean, to give you an example, you know, all of the surveys done by both Enterprise Ireland and IDA, when they look at multinationals when they come into this country, one of the things that they're impressed with, the Irish work ethic, the work that people will do, the lengths that people will go to, that there isn't, we have a reputation as people who will work very, very hard. I think these changes, absolutely, that there are, they're Europe-wide, we're going to see them in other countries as well if they're not already in. But the point is, if you're an employee and you're asserting your rights and you're looking for your rights around your child being sick or whatever, you're quite entitled to do that. But it's about being conscious and aware of, is the job still getting done? Am I still communicating with my line manager? Am I still communicating with my colleagues? Am I still being fair to everyone in terms of what I'm doing? It's down to common sense. And in fairness to the you know, we look at what people have done in this country the last 2 years, people have performed remarkably well under very difficult circumstances. These circumstances were imposed on them. What we're now seeing are changes in legislation that people will be entitled to look for and seek. And I think if we look at the track record of people working and performing in this country overall, you know, we have a very good reputation in terms of getting work done.
All right. Well, you're clearly in favour of this. Barry McLaughlin, Senior Consultant with the Communications Clinic. Some of the texts coming in. The creche workers, they always call the mother. I told them recently to call my husband. He has a mobile too. On the same topic, loving the bias here, folks. I've taken a year out to let my wife focus on her career, despite me being in a better paid job than her. I'm sorting the laundry here at the moment after dropping the kids to school. I'm the parent who gets the call. That's from a stay-at-home dad. Why are we always talking about office scenarios? What about the plumber or the plasterer in the middle of a job? Leave the wall half plastered or a pipe leaking to run off? I don't think so. My husband works much closer to my children's school. I work 20 kilometres away, so we've instructed the school to phone dad first if the kids are sick. This doesn't always happen, though. Marta says, in Poland, there's sick leave for when kids are sick. It's just normal. It should be standard. I'm a mother, a carer, left-leaning in my views, but as a manager in my organisation, I would find this leave too much to manage on top of already very good annual leave, sick leave, and so on.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.